So with no further delay, we're going to turn loose evangelist Brian Kaiser all the way from West Virginia.
You didn't say West Virginia, did you? Uh-oh. It's Virginia. I've had people introduce me that I'm from West Virginia before, and I always tell them I won't come back to your church if you ever do that again. No, I'm from... I'm just kidding. I'm from Virginia, Front Royal, Virginia. Let's all stand up. Let's just put our hands out again. Let's just welcome Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love your presence. We just love your tangible joy, Lord. We love your peace, God. We love what you do, Lord. Just come and fill this place with your glory, God. God, I ask that you would just fill us with your love, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you, God. God, we're desperate for you, God. We're wrecked, Lord, for nothing less but an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We repent, God. We repent of relying on any system, Lord, any religious box, Lord, other than knowing you and experiencing your presence, Lord. We want to know you, God. We want to experience you, Lord. You are the joy of our lives, God. You are the pleasure, Lord, that wakes us up in the morning, Lord. Lord, be everything in our lives, God. Yes. God, this morning, as I just share out of your word, God, just boil it all back down to love, God. Boil it back down to the secret place, God. You've changed the world over and over by men and women who are just hungry to know you. Just hungry to experience you, God. Wreck us, God. Pray that. God, wreck me. Wreck me. Wreck me for nothing else, Lord, but to know you, to experience you, Lord. Pour your love out everywhere I go. God, we don't want to waste our lives. Come on, pray that for a moment. God, don't let me waste my life. Come on, pray a dangerous prayer this morning. God, don't let me waste my life. God, my life is so short. I don't want to waste it. We want to know you, Jesus. We want to know you, Lord. We want to see you face to face as a friend, Lord, like Moses. My Lord said, Numbers 12, my prophets, they see a dream, or they see a vision, they have a dream, but not so with my friend Moses. He sees the form of the Lord face to face. Lord, we're under a new covenant that's way better. It's just not even comparable to the old, Lord. Built upon better promises, Lord. And we want more, Lord. We want more, Lord. We want to move beyond just weak and broken religiosity, Lord. We want to experience you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may all be seated. So if you didn't get my introduction last night, if you weren't here, my name is Brian Kaiser. I live in Front Royal, Virginia. Hallelujah. And I lead the Love Revival Ministry Center there in Front Royal. This is the first church that I've gotten to announce this at. We're planning a second campus already. We've been going for 3 months. And a group down in Roanoke, Virginia, which is about 3 hours south of us, said, hey, we love what you're doing. This is wild. This is amazing. Will you come down here and plant a campus down here too? So we're planning a second campus just 3 months into starting this ministry, which is just mind-blowing. I didn't even want to do it in the first place. But Jehovah Sneaky, as I like to call him, kind of called me to do some other things. Guys, we got to be lively this morning. This is not spectator morning. You're going to talk to me. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to clap. We're going to shout. We're going to praise the Lord. This ain't Bapticostal morning, okay? This is revival, glory, kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? I did dry, dead religion for 15 years and then became an atheist for 2 years. I didn't get back into this thing to just be bored and sit back on a back seat of a church pew for the next 80 years, okay? I got saved in an encounter with God. So anything less than encounter with God, I'm not interested in. You know, people ask me, you know, what do you think about this church and that church? And I'll watch a 10-minute video and I don't feel any presence of God on it. And I don't have the time or the desire to criticize anybody. But when I don't see encounter with God in my own life or how I'm teaching or how someone else is teaching, it's not wrong. I'm just not interested, okay? And so when I come to minister somewhere, when I come to preach at a church, I'm not here to make you feel good about yourself. I hope to do that a little bit, you know. I don't want you to feel bad about yourself, right? I didn't come here to like get an offering and go home. I didn't come here to just like, you know, be cool and get more popular. I come places to release an encounter with God, which is what I carry. My life message is the secret place. My message for this morning is literally the secret place of God. Psalm 91 says that David says that people can dwell in the secret place of the Most High in the shadow. Everybody say the shadow. The shadow, that's the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, the Kabod, the weighty glory of God would rest upon people. The Bible says in the New Testament that Peter would literally just walk down the street and his shadow, imagine my shadow being over top of you and you getting raised from the dead, or a devil start getting cast out, or all of a sudden a blind eye pops open. When we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, when we dwell with God, our shadow's dangerous. I was listening to a teaching by, what was her name? It'll come to me later on today. But anyway, she was a prophetess out at the International House of Prayer. Well, it wasn't IHOP at that time. It was the KC Prophet days in Kansas City. And she preached this message that just absolutely just wrecked my life. She kept saying, "Is your shadow dangerous? Is your shadow dangerous?" She shared the story of how she was getting a massage one day. And all of a sudden, the woman who was giving her a massage, she'd just been in an encounter with God. And the woman who was giving her a massage was like Hindu or something like that. She didn't believe in God. And all of a sudden, midway through her massage, the woman all of a sudden drops out on the ground and starts manifesting a demon right there on the spot. Starts growling at her and starts trying to bite her ankles and says, "I won't come out, I hate Jesus," you know. And she kicks the devil out right there on the spot. Yeah. Guys, it's not time for us to get more weak and broken. It's time that we start getting powerful in the presence of God and get in the place of prayer. I believe there weren't a time in human history where nicer church pews, coffee and donuts just won't cut it anymore. Amen. You know, Hollywood and the world right now, they're discipling my generation. I'm 25 years old. I just turned 25. My generation is getting discipled by the 5 o'clock news. My generation's getting discipled by video games and media and things like that, because many people in my generation didn't encounter an encounter with God when they went to church. They encountered racism. They encountered sexism. They encountered hatred and idolatry and seeker sensitivity and things like that, instead of an encounter with God. It's time for this generation to encounter the presence of God. Man, I'm wrecked. I could have been in the club last night. You know, that's where most of my friends are. But I have way more fun being in church, experiencing the presence of God. When you experience this love, when you experience this bliss and this pleasure of knowing God, it changes everything. When I was 17 years old, the presence of God swept through into my room, and I was doing all kinds of things that, you know, I won't go down the laundry list, but I was a messed up kid, man. I was, you know, doing a lot of stuff. And when the presence of God came in my room and I realized how good, how enjoyable, how pleasureful God is, I like to call, you know, this might step on some religious toes, but I hope it does. I like to call God Mr. Pleasure sometimes. Or Mr. Love. I mean, really, God is the most pleasurable, loving, blissful person you can ever hang out with. Amen? One of the greatest and worst things that religion has ever done to this generation is we've made it all about praying a prayer so you don't go to hell and so that you get to go to heaven one day. And we've made this thing all about, you know, God, He's up there, He's got a scowl on His face, He's angry, He's frustrated, He's playing ping pong with Gabriel, you know, having a glass of lemonade. And then when we get up there one day, God will be down the street down this way and a couple thousand miles down here. You'll have your little harp, you know, with like a, you know, I don't know, like a diaper looking thing on. You know, we have all these goofy ideas from Hollywood of what heaven is like. We have all these goofy ideas of what God is like. Many of you have a view of what God is like based off of your father. If you see God with a scowl on His face, I imagine that's probably how you saw your father, actually. Or maybe your dad wasn't around. Maybe he was angry. Maybe he was abusive. I don't know. Or men in your life, or women in your life, whatever. The way we see God often is completely not based on what the Bible says. Amen. Hebrews 12 says that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to angels in festive gathering of celebration. Heaven is an exciting place. I've taken 2 trips there. It's amazing. I could tell you about it another time. But heaven's the most joyful place you can ever possibly imagine. And like I was saying, one of the greatest lies from the devil that he's put into this generation is that God is boring. If you think God is boring, you have not met him yet. God is the most exciting person you've ever met in your entire life. Amen? Let's go in our Bibles to John 17. As I was sharing, when I got saved, nobody had to tell me to quit sinning. I found a greater pleasure. Let me ask you this. If I was, say, homeless, let's say I was living in, you know, not trying to be funny, but really living in a cardboard box somewhere, living under a bridge, something like that. And that was my reality. That was my experience. And you walked up to me and you gave me a $5 million mansion. And I said, no thanks, I'm going to keep sleeping in the box. Wouldn't I be the most foolish person in the whole wide world, you know? Or if I had a broken down Honda Civic and you gave me a Bentley or a Mercedes, you would say I'm absolutely crazy. See, that's the same way our relationship with God is. We think in religion that sin is up here on the enjoyment level, but God says, no, that's bad, brother. You can't do that. You need to be a good Sunday morning Christian. You need to wear your coat and your tie and pay your tithe, or else you're going to go to the hot place, you know? That's the idea we have about God. The reality is that knowing God, experiencing God, is a million times more enjoyable than sin could ever imagine to be so. But when we just encounter religion instead of encounter God, we think sin is more enjoyable than God. And that's my message for this morning. We've got to encounter Jesus. The real Jesus of the Bible. The real manifest Shekinah glory presence of God. It changes everything. John 17:3. I think Jesus really turned that idea that the Pharisees had about God, turned it on their head right there. Let's go to John 17, verse 2. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Let me stop right there. As I shared a little bit last night, the Greek mindset is pray a prayer. The westernized theology mindset is pray a prayer, go to heaven one day. Live a boring, pointless life right now, but you get to go to heaven one day. How many of you ever heard you get to pray a prayer and you get eternal life? Has anybody ever heard that before? Okay. It's partially true. But we have to ask the question, what is eternal life? Is eternal life just getting to live forever in heaven one day? No, absolutely not. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is not just in time period, it's also talking about a quality. Everybody say quality. Quality of life. He's not just saying pray a prayer and you get to live for all of eternity. He's saying you get to know me and your quality, your joy, your bliss, your pleasure of this life goes through the roof, man. You can't even begin to imagine what a relationship with God that Jesus Christ had between him and the Father, the levels of joy and bliss that you get to encounter in that relationship with him. I can honestly say in the last 8 years now of being a Christian, before being a Christian, I woke every single morning depressed, sad, pointless, trying to understand what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Has anyone else ever had that question? What am I here for? But when I encountered the love of the Father and encountered that bliss, that joy of knowing and experiencing him, it changes everything, guys. And all of a sudden, you spend your money different. You spend your time different. You have a different idea about sexuality. You have a different idea about morality as a whole. It changes everything in our lives. Let's go over to James 4. I want to go to James 4. It's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. If a generation would catch a revelation of this, the world would get changed just like it was nothing. Let's go to James 4, verse 4. I love this passage here. James 4, verse 4. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not know that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Everybody say that. Yearns jealously. One of my favorite concepts in the Bible is that there is idols in this life, but there's only one true God. All these other idols are pleasures, things that we find pleasure in that is not from God. Okay, I don't have an issue with movies. I like movies. I'm stoked for Star Wars to come out. Anybody gonna start? Hallelujah. Brother from another mother. Hallelujah. I love movies. I love, you know, basketball. I love fishing. I football's okay. You know, I like those sorts of things. But so often in the Christian life, we idolize those things to fill a God-sized hole in our heart. Amen? Every single human, you have a God-sized hole in your heart. And some of us, we try drugs and alcohol, premarital sex, things like that. But there's only one thing that can truly fill that God-sized hole, and that's the secret place of knowing and experiencing God. Matthew 6, Jesus talked about the secret place where we get alone with God and no one else sees it but our Father who is in secret. We've got to become a generation of people. When I say generation, I mean from the newborn babies to the 120-year-olds. Amen? God's not done with you if you're 110. Hallelujah. God still wants to move through all the generations. I believe the greatest revival the world's ever going to see is not just a restoration of the fivefold, not just a restoration of the kingdom of God, not just an understanding of healing. It's going to be a revival of the secret place of people that want to know and experience God. See, not everybody's called to be on a stage somewhere. Not everybody's called to, I don't know, even necessarily be in the fivefold in a formal setting. But you're all called to live forth from the secret place of knowing and experiencing God. You can get in this place in life where all of your pleasure, all of your joy, all of your enjoyment in life comes from that early morning prayer meeting of getting alone with God. Amen? I can't tell you how many times where I'm tired, man, where I'm burned out in ministry, you know, and I'll spend an hour with God and I'm ready to run after it once again. So many people out there, they think they have to go to seminary, they think they have to go to school, they think they have to get all kind of training to get used by God. Guys, I have no technical training whatsoever. I didn't get a degree. I was at Liberty University for an economics and finance degree, and I dropped out to be a pastor. That's a pretty good excuse for dropping out of college, amen? And I dropped out to be a pastor, to plant a church in Roanoke. And I didn't have any training. I didn't get into this thing of traveling all over the country and all over the world, you know, preaching the gospel by, you know, working really hard or doing something like that. I got everything that I have by getting alone with God in the secret place. Just getting alone with Him, experiencing Him, and then He puts you on platforms. He puts you out where He wants you to be. Amen? I love that passage there. It says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. In the Amplified translation, this is a rough paraphrase, but it says something more to the effect of, He placed a Spirit in us who yearns for us jealously. In Deuteronomy, one of the names of God is, His name is Jealous Jealously. Jealous Jealousy. When you get in the secret place to pray, when you get alone with God, God goes, oh, I've been waiting for her. I've been waiting for Him. And one of my favorite passages, Song of Solomon 5, it says, though I sleep, my heart stays awake. One of my other favorite ones in Song of Solomon. Anybody like Song of Solomon? That's my favorite book in the Bible. Hallelujah. Because it's not about Solomon and his wife. It's about Jesus and you. In Song of Solomon 3, the bridegroom, he says, my bride, with one glance of your eyes, my heart skips a beat. I get this picture, I get this image in my mind when I get alone with God, when I lay down in my prayer closet and say, come Holy Spirit, God goes, oh, He's here again. But we think that God's boring. We think he's up there just playing ping pong with Gabriel, like I said, with a scowl on his face. God is a God of emotion. God is a God of vast, deep, burning, jealous desires. Amen? You know, I was listening to a certain very famous person with a talk show. I don't want to name her name because I really don't want to, you know, it's not like I'm dishonoring anybody. But she was sharing about how she became an unbeliever. She's spiritual, you know, whatever that means. And she said she was sitting in church one day, and the preacher said, God is a jealous God. And then he went on to share about how he's jealous, therefore he's going to like send you to hell or something like that. You know, some fire and brimstone type message. And she said, from that moment forward, I never wanted to step foot in a church again or ever be a Christian again. I said, how sad is that? That one of my favorite perspectives and one of my favorite areas of the heart of God is this, but taught improperly, is the same thing that could actually turn someone into being an atheist. See, we think God is jealous in a way of, oh, I'm mad at you right now, you're not praying, I'm going to zap you with a lightning bolt. No, he's up there saying, you make my heart come alive. God doesn't just listen to your prayer and say, oh, that's nice, that's okay. God's up there weeping. He's crying. He's laughing. He's there with you, hugging you in the secret place. And the more you awaken to it, the more you spend time with him, the greater his presence is going to come in that room. Amen? Amen. Kenneth Hagin, who I think is one of the greatest generals of the faith of all time, in his early days, he would be preaching in, you know, small Baptist churches a lot of times. And he would be on the stage, and all of a sudden, the glory cloud, presence of God, would come under the door. Anybody ever heard the story before? It would come under the door, and literally the whole room, you couldn't even see the person in front of you because the presence of God was so strong. It would literally knock him out. God would like preach through him. He wouldn't remember it. And he'd wake up and everybody had been healed of cancer and all the demon eyes had been set free and all those sorts of things. Guys, that comes from people that get alone with God. You want to see God use your life? Wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. Spend 2 hours before you go to work. Amen? We've got to start sacrificing just a little bit. Romans 12 says that your reasonable service, not over the top, your reasonable service is to give everything over to God. He's worthy of it. Let's go to Jeremiah 2. Everybody doing good? God's quiet on me this morning. Come on. Let's go to Jeremiah 2. I love this passage. I love the Bible. One of the biggest lies out there these days is that you got to either be a spirit Christian or a Bible Christian. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. This book brings me into an encounter with God. It doesn't pull me out of an encounter with God. This is life. This is spirit. When I get into this, I'm encountering the living Christ. Amen? Yes. This brings me joy. This is the purpose of my life, to know and experience God. If I don't have this, I don't have anything, man. I love getting blasted by the presence of God, getting wrecked, getting drunk in the spirit, you know, whatever you want to call it. I love getting touched by the Lord. But if I don't have this as my foundation, then I'm going to get weird, man. I think it was Summerall, wasn't it, said that if I have all spirit and no word, I'll dry up. If I have all spirit and or all word and no spirit, I'll dry up. If I have all spirit and no word, I'll blow up. But if I have the spirit and the word, I'll grow up. Amen? We've got to have both. So Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I love Isaiah 55. It says, come to me, buy, eat, and drink freely of milk, wine, and honey. Let your soul be delighted in abundance. It's time the church stop preaching condemnation and shame. but preaching a God who is joy and bliss. When we understand how amazing and how good God is, we don't have to twist people's arm to go to church. They'll come running in the church because they'll realize that God is more enjoyable than anything else they've ever experienced before. Amen? I'll never forget it. I don't know if I shared the story last time, but I was at my old apartment in Roanoke, Virginia. I love evangelism. I think that all Christians should do evangelism. I have friends that I say, hey man, let's go do evangelism. They'll say, no, I'm a prophet, you know? And I'm like, no, everybody's called to be an evangelist. Amen? This is the reality of it. So anyway, I'm at my old apartment and this guy is delivering my pizzas. I was having a bunch of young adults over my house that I was discipling. We're going to have a prayer meeting. And this guy walks up to my door to deliver our pizzas. He's got like 10 pizzas in his hand. And I've been around a lot of Satanists and New Agers. I know how to interact with them. I've seen a lot of them get saved. And he's got all these New Age crystals on. They believe that, you know, spirit guides will hang out in their crystals and tell them about things and whatever. It's all weird. And I said to him, I said, those are some nice crystals you got there, man. You know, I don't exactly look like a pastor, especially when I got my holy jeans on and, you know, my Jordans on, you know. And I said, hey, man, those are some nice crystals you got there. And he says, yeah, man. I mean, this guy, like, probably still thinks it's 1970 at a Jimi Hendrix concert or something. Like, this guy, like, had taken a couple too many trips in his VW van in the 70s, you know. Some of you know I'm talking about. And I said, man, those are kind of pretty, you know. I said, what do they do for you? He says, well, bro, they talk to me, man. They give me messages, you know. They talk to me. And I said, oh, so you have a spirit guide? He's like, yeah, man. How'd you know that? I said, well, bro, it's pretty cool, but I have a spirit guide too. And he says, far out, man. No way. I said, it's true. I said, I don't want to offend you or anything. I said, but my spirit guide's actually the most powerful, most amazing, most loving spirit guide in the whole wide world. He says, far out, bro. What's his name? I said, well, I'll get to that in a minute, man. I'll get to that in a minute. Just hold on, you know? I said, here's what I'm going to do. I said, I have this ability that I can lay hands on people, and my spirit guide all of a sudden makes them feel as though they're drunk with love. He says, far out, man. Never heard of that. I said, it's pretty special. I know. I said, things can get a little bit wild when I lay hands on people. I said, here's what I want you to do. Put my Mountain Dew and my pizza there on the table. I don't want you to drop it or anything. I got to look out for my pizzas. Hallelujah. I said, put my pizzas down. And I said, I'm just going to lay a hand on your chest. He says, all right, man. Far out. Cool. All right. Cool, man. So he puts my pizzas down. I lay a hand on his chest and I said, Jesus, I thank you for your love. And the man literally starts laughing uncontrollably, starts shaking and rocking back and forth, getting blasted by the love of God. Guys, that's what our generation needs. We go out here looking for alcohol, looking for drugs, looking for love, when it's all just this God-sized hole that's crying out for something to say, I love you, amen? When we encounter His love, we can't help but take that love out everywhere we go. It's no longer acceptable for just the ministers on the stage to go out and preach the gospel. When we've encountered love in the secret place, man, you can't hold me back from sharing Jesus everywhere I go. I love it. It's my favorite thing to do. Another fun story. You guys like stories? I shared this last night, or I said last night about this, that when I share stories, it's not so you'll say, wow, that's a cool story. It's so that you'll go out and do the same thing and even greater. Amen? Jesus said that those who come after me, they'll do greater works than these. I want to get a phone call a week from now and you'd be like, well, Brian, you did that, but I did this and it was way cooler. And I won't even be offended at all. I hope you do that, please. There was another man, I was in a barbecue place. You know, I food and Jesus just really goes together well, hallelujah. I could praise break for that. Thank you, Jesus. And, I got a clap out of that one. Thank you, Lord. So I'm in this barbecue place, and this man, he hasn't been to church, he told me, like 30 years, something like that. And he had a heart condition. I mean, this was dangerous. He said literally that if he moved too fast, he could literally, like, pass out, black out right there on the spot. And now, I don't suggest you do this unless you've really got the gift of faith, you're going for it, you got some experience here, okay? But he had all these knee issues, and he had this heart issue where he could literally black out if he, like, moved too fast. And I said, well, the Lord's going to heal you right now. And he didn't even know I was a Christian. Again, I was in my J's and a T-shirt, you know, my holy jeans. And I said, well, yeah, man, I'm a pastor. And he says, you're no pastor. What are you talking about? And I said, no, I am. And so anyway, I prayed for him. The man literally, again, almost falls out. He's the owner of this barbecue place, almost falls out there on the floor laughing uncontrollably. He gets up about 15 minutes later, and we check him out. He ends up running laps around his property, his knees and his heart being totally healed right there on the spot. A friend of mine came to the barbecue place who told me to go in there to pray for him in the first place. She came in there about 2 hours later, found him sitting under the sink crying like a baby 2 hours later, getting wrecked by the love of God. Guys, if we don't have that going on with ourselves and God in the secret place, how can you give that out to those around you? So too many Christians are trying to proclaim a God that they don't truly know. Jesus said eternal life is knowing God. Knowledge of God is not just knowing about God. I'm a big fan of Michael Jordan. I'm a big fan of Derek Jeter. I've never met either of those athletes before, okay? I could tell you a lot of facts about them. I could tell you everything I've ever read in every book and baseball card and basketball card, right? But their kids, well, Jeter doesn't have any kids, but still, their family members know them a lot better than I do. God's not interested in how much you know about Him just from the Word of God. He's interested in a heart revelation of who He is that comes from experience. We've got to encounter Him. We can't just talk about Him. We can't just believe something about Him. It's unacceptable from here on out for you. Amen? We've got to know Him. We've got to experience Him. I want to go maybe two more places. Let's go to Psalm 16. The Lord would not let me prepare my message for this morning. He gave me some general concepts, but Jehovah Sneaky's been doing that to me more and more lately, and it frustrates me. But good thing He's Lord and I'm not. So, Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness. Everybody say that, fullness. Fullness of joy. So if something is full of something, guess how much, like if you have two cups here, right? And I say there's only but so much water, and this cup is full of all the water, how much water's in the other cup? None, right? In the same way, in comparison to what you can find in relationship with God, there's no joy in the world whatsoever in comparison to what you can find in the secret place of the Most High. Amen? Come on, this is worth it. In your presence is the fullness of joy at your right hand. Where did Jesus sit down when He ascended into heaven in Acts 1? At the right hand of the Father. Who is pleasure forevermore? Jesus Christ. We have these boring religious ideas of who God is and what He's all about that doesn't align with the Word of God. This word, this book says that Jesus is the most pleasurable, enjoyable, wonderful, beautiful, amazing person you can ever possibly imagine. I love the verse that was quoted this morning, Psalm 27:4. This one thing have I desired of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of God all the days of my life and to inquire in His tabernacle. David would have probably been the richest man in all of Israel. He was definitely the most powerful man. He was the king. He had multiple wives and concubines and wealth and anything you can imagine. And at the end of the day, he still said this one thing. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of idols in our lives that are tugging at us saying, find pleasure in me. Find enjoyment in me. Find your fulfillment in football, movies, sex, whatever it may be. But the reality at the end of the day, there's only one pleasure. There's only one God-sized thing that can fill the God-sized hole that's in your heart. And I believe this morning that the Lord, I'm a grace guy. I believe in the identity message. I believe in the grace of God. At the same time, there's times to repent. Amen. There is times for holiness and consecration to the Lord. Amen. And I believe this morning the Lord's going to begin to pull some of those pleasures out of some of our lives and let us realize that they're complete garbage in comparison to knowing and experiencing God. Amen. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'm going to go one more place. Psalm 36. Let's go to Psalm 36. Verse 8. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, the Father's house. And you give them drink from the river. Everybody say the river. The river of your pleasures. Everybody say pleasures. There's pleasures in the presence of God. And you give them drink from your river of pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Song of Solomon 8:6. I'm going to read it over you real quick here. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I want to share a quick testimony. And then I want to jump into ministry. I'm going to hand over to Dr. Janet and jump into ministry time. Song of Solomon 8:6, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are a flame of fire, the most vehement flame of Yahweh. God's love is like this baptism of fire that burns out all the dross, all the hidden sin, all of the pride, all the arrogance in our lives, so that we can be filled with the rivers of living water. Amen? John 4, John 7 says that we have a river of living water living in our innermost being, where there is geysers. Everybody say geysers. Geysers of rivers of living water. And we learn from Psalm 36 that those rivers of living water is the abundance of the pleasure of knowing and experiencing God. Guys, we've got to get a hunger, a desire in our hearts that it's just not okay to not experience God anymore. I believe we're going to see a generation of people where seeing angels face to face, seeing Jesus face to face, taking trips to heaven, the glory cloud in our houses is going to be a normal, common experience. Does anybody else believe that or have that sense in their heart? I believe that veil between heaven and earth is going to be rent, and it's going to become one day. And it's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. But guess what? It starts with you. I can't make you do it. I can't preach you into it. I can't twist your arm. You've got to want God. Sometimes in the Christian life, I meet people that they almost want me to like force them into relationship with God. I can't do it. I won't do it. I ain't got time for it. You've got to want God yourself. You can't have a victim mentality. You have as much of God as you want right now. A.A. Allen said, no man should fear going too far in God because no man has gone far enough. You can have every bit as much of God as you want. Your level of experience with God right now is completely dictated on your hunger for more. Amen? So let's all stand up, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Janet, but if after that, I'll jump on into ministry time.